I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Tab Douglas here. Happy to have you on board, taking you till 3 o'clock today. Happy to be joined by our good friend and contributor to Sports Radio 93.7TheFan.com on a website. Does a lot of great writing on the Penguins there. Grover, welcome aboard. When we usually talk, we usually have one or two things to complain about, but looking at that 6-1 win over Toronto last night, boy, that was a complete victory, and there's nothing to complain about there.
No, hey, Tab, it's great to be on with you as always, and that was a pretty impressive performance by the Penguins against a struggling Leafs team that's under a lot of pressure, had lost 4 in a row coming in, and the Penguins just took over that game right from the start and never let up.
How do you feel about Mike Babcock as a coach? I was talking to Scott Cullen on the show last night before the game, and he's, people were in Toronto were wondering if he's the right fit for that hockey team. They're as you said, now they've lost 5 in a row, and they're a 500 hockey team with a whole lot of talent on it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you might wonder, Tab, do they have, hear me out on this, a little too much talent? In other words, they don't have they don't have the right mix of grinders and other kinds of players, that they've put an emphasis on speed and skill a little too much. You just wonder about that. I mean, they're not good defensively, period. And they tried to restructure their defense in the offseason. Tyson Barry hasn't helped them at all.
Right.
That's just one example. But I think there's no question that Babcock's on the hot seat. I mean, I know he's got a long contract, and I know the Leafs, he's only like halfway through it right now, and they're going to owe him a lot of money should they ever cut him loose. But look, you're wasting some big, some big kind of in your prime years from young, skilled players, and you might not even get in the playoffs this season. This has been a horrific season for Toronto.
It's interesting that the Penguins played so well last night. It's not surprising because it seems whenever Sid is out of the lineup, and of course he's going to be gone till likely after the first of the year, but the Penguins' record in the 173, now 174 games without Sid is 98-55-21. And a lot of that has to do with what Geno Malkin seems to do every time Sid is out of the lineup, and that's pick up his game. And boy, that top line has been really, really good with Guentzel and Rust.
Yeah, and I love that move, to put Guentzel up with Malkin 2 games ago, because that was the right move to get those two together, even though they've not played a ton. It also gets Guentzel back on his natural left side. And Rust has been great, really, since he got in the lineup from his injury to start the season. So, this is what Geno does. He averages 1.3 points per game when Sid's out. He tortures the Leafs. He has more points. He averages more points per game against them than any other team. So this had a lot of things pointing in the right direction. And that's one of the things I wrote about in my column this week on your site was, basically, you know what you're going to get from Malkin in the next 6 weeks with Sid out. He will take his game to another level because he has proven that he can do that. And the thing I love about this particular case, Tab, is it's not just the points. Like, what I see from Malkin is more dumping the puck in when there's no play to be made, more him coming back and really, making an effort on the back check to clean up the I see a lot of really, really good signs. But the other part of my column was, look, you can't just sit back and say, okay, Geno will get us through this. It's going to take everybody. And last night it did take everybody, and they got contributions from people like Cahoon, like Rust, like Guentzel, and that's what they're going to need.
What's interesting about that and your article as well is that, to me, was, from what I had been hearing from a number of different people, the big concern when Geno was out of the lineup and the team was quote-unquote playing the right way. When Geno came back in the lineup, was he going to buy in? But boy, he has.
No, he's doing all the right. He's doing all the right things. I mean, there's just, he's not putting up otherworldly numbers. He's averaging like a point a game this season, but he's you can tell that he's trying to set an example for this team right now with the decisions he's making with the puck. So think about the way he's playing outside of the points. And that's the thing you got to love, that he's doing everything that the coaching staff would want him to do in addition to putting up points. So far, so good for the whole game he's playing without Sid.
We're with Penguin historian Bob Grove, and you could read all his good stuff at 93.7.com. You talk about a point per game guy. You know, I don't expect at the end of the season he'll be a point per game guy, but he's better than that right now. 10 points in 9 games. Brian Rust, look out. Yeah. Here comes Rusty. Unbelievable, yeah, this kid has been.
He's been really good. And, look, he would have got to 20 for the first time in his career last season if he hadn't had that late season injury spell, where I think he missed another 10 games. We all know the way he plays the game. It's pretty simple. He uses his speed. He goes north-south, et cetera. He's a very good penalty killer. But his finishing ability has really improved over the last season and a half. I mean, there's no question about it. These are things that, you know, I think earlier in his career, Brian Rust was getting similar types of chances, but he wasn't converting nearly as many as he is right now. And for him to be able to put these kind of consistently in the back of the net when he's getting great chances is a big, big sign for the Penguins.
And it's interesting. I think you tweeted it out last night, too, even in the game before against New Jersey. That top line with Gensel and Rust and Malkin, it was somewhere around 45% of the shots that were taken were created by those guys in that Jersey game. And again, you know, last night they were a force to be reckoned with. And if you can get that type of production, and as you mentioned, you know now maybe Dominic Cahoon is going to take off a little bit. Tanev was moved up to the second line last night and a big contributor. And a lot of people are forgetting, or maybe they're not forgetting, the fact that this team, despite the fact, and they did score a power play goal last night, which is shocking, I know, probably to you and me and everybody else, but the reason that they've been able to weather the storm with their lack of power play goals is their penalty killing has been just as good as their power play has been bad, and that's saving them.
No, that's right. I mean, they went into the game last night at number 2. This is 9 games in a row without giving one up. The PK is the one phase of the Penguins game that Mike Sullivan has really, in his time with the team, has really not had, you know, a positive outcome with. I mean, they've been middle of the road to poor on penalty killing since he came here. And so right now he's got them at the top of the league. And some of that's, I think, the types of players that he's using in these situations. We talked about Rust, but you can talk about Bluger, you can look at Marino. I mean, I think Jack Johnson's done good work there. Mm-hmm. You know, the goaltending's been good while they've been shorthanded. So they've got a lot of things going for them. And that's the thing that's getting, you know, it's not just the PK, which is a big piece of this, but one of the things that's getting lost in the Penguins now at the quarter pole of the season is just how good defensively they've been. I mean, there's been some discussion of it, but I don't think anyone expected them to be this good defensively. And that's the thing that the coaching staff has to feel the best about, is I know what they're saying to themselves. Like, going into last night's game, the Penguins had trouble scoring, a lot of that because of the power play, but they're like, look, if we keep playing defensively like this, the goals will come. And when they do, if they keep playing, doing all the great things away from the puck that they're doing, they're going to be in great shape.
Yeah, team-wise, fourth or fifth in the league. And, you know, all of a sudden, the we need to get Jack Johnson talk is quieted down. A big part of that.
Yeah, I mean, he's been really solid the first quarter of the season. I mean, I don't care how you feel about Jack Johnson. There's no way around it. And I said at the beginning of the season, I still thought the Penguins would be better with Ricola in there instead of Johnson. But the first 20 games, you can't complain about what he's done. I mean, you just can't. I mean, he's been pretty darn solid. As we said, continues to do good work on the PK. But the kinds of, you know, the kinds of mistakes that he was making routinely last year, he's got a lot of that out of his game. You know, and he still has obviously the mobility challenges, but he's found a way to make sure that he's getting to pucks that sometimes last year for me he wasn't getting to. So there's no reason to complain about him right now. No matter how you feel about him, you can't deny that he's been good for them.
Yeah, and jumping deep into the play against Jersey the other night and picking up the only goal in the game was a pretty headsy play by him, and a great goal, by the way. One quick thing, Grover, before we end this, is you mentioned the goaltending. Matt Murray probably would have loved to have, especially that second goal back against New Jersey. But Tristan Jarry to come off the bench after, you know, not playing for essentially a month and putting up the kind of numbers, his goals against now is under two, his save percentage is up near 93. I don't think anybody expected that, even when the Penguins made the decision to choose between him monetarily and Casey DeSmith. But he's proven he can certainly play in this league.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. I think the Penguins felt that, you know, he would give them good performances, but I don't know that they felt he'd be this good. And he's been really, really solid and, you know, obviously came close to getting a shutout last night. He's been great on home ice. And when you don't start for over 3 weeks and then you come up with a performance like that, I don't care how Toronto played last night. That's not the point. The point is he made some big stops early in the game that could have been goals for Toronto, and that's what you're looking for. That's the big key you're looking for early in games when he hasn't played. So he's been really, really good. And, hey, you know, they've got some back-to-backs coming up, so we're going to see some more of them.
For sure. Grover, always good to talk to you. Thanks for taking time out on a Sunday, and it's good to talk after a 6-1 win. Hopefully they'll get some guys back in the lineup, and they'll get on a little bit of a roll here, even without Sid. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Deb.
All right, there goes Bob Grove. You can find all his good work at 937thefan.com.